Good morning. It's great to have everybody here today. Let's go ahead and get your Bibles open up to Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14. We're going to spend a little bit of time there. Also got a couple other verses we want to go over to. Announcements-wise, there's a number of announcements inside your bulletin. The nearest thing going on is our game night on Friday night. It is first time that we're having a church-wide game night, at least not that I know of, kind of in this type of form and setting. They'll have bring your favorite board game, card game, whatever you like, you think other people might enjoy. But also, if you're able to bring some type of snack with you, appetizer type of thing, starts at 6 o'clock. I know many people will have already eaten, but it's bring something to share with other people. The church will help provide the drinks and things like that. There's a sign-up sheet out there on the Welcome Center. So if you're able to and plan on doing it, please sign up by today so we can know how many tables to set up, but also so how much drinks and different things like that, how many different games. They're going to have a Wii set up. The game room will be open in the back. And also, I think most people will be probably playing the game, games just sitting around fellowshipping with one another. Even if you can't be here right at 6 and you just want to show up a little bit later, that's fine. There's no set time when you got to show up, no set time when you got to get done. But we're planning on starting the fun at 6 p.m. Let's see here. Other things going on. The business meeting in 2 weeks on the 28th in the evening service is not found in your bulletin, but that is something we want to announce. Teen Afterglow tonight at the after church for the teenagers. Girls and ladies tea. This is coming up, and that is on May the 4th from 11 to 1. We'll have a sign-up sheet out there for that and a little bit more details for you tonight, but a handout for that next week. Men's retreat, May 16th through the 18th. For I understand, the ladies had a really good time. I know I got a lot of calls or texts from the ladies talking about how quickly they want to schedule another ladies' retreat. So they had a good time this past Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Thankful for that. Thankful for all the ladies that got a chance to go. We're going a little bit farther with the men, going down to Tennessee. Brother Barnhouse will be your speaker. The reason why we chose something so far away was because of the speaker and because of the lodging that was there, and because of different amenities or activities. So I know it is a little bit of a ask if you want to come, but that is May 16th through the 18th. We're leaving that Saturday, Thursday morning, probably about 7:30, coming back that Saturday night around 8 o'clock. There's a handout out there on the Welcome Center. If you're interested, and we ask that you sign up by the 28th. We'll have a meeting the following Sunday to go over the rest of the details. Church picnic, May 26th. We're putting that on the calendar. It's Memorial Day weekend. So just want to make sure everybody knows about that, too. That afternoon, we're going to be having a Thanksgiving. And also a new thing that's in the bulletin, too, is helping with the cost of teen camp. So teen camp's expensive. And sometimes we ask people to help sponsor young people who cannot pay at all, just because of how expensive it's gotten over the years. For teen camp itself, is like $240, $250, depending on when they sign up, maybe $270, $280. And with the cost of food, cost of everything else, all those different things. So we're just putting this out there. Last year we did the same thing. We're doing a different camp this year. We're trying a couple of different ones. We enjoyed the Bill Rice Ranch last year. Indian Creek Baptist Camp is this year's camp. And so we're trying a couple of different ones. Maybe you're trying to find a final one that we really enjoy too, want to go year after year. So if you'd like to help with the cost of camp for teenagers, just put it on the outside of your envelope. All the money will go to be divided up amongst the number of teens that are going, and it will be just teens and the people that are going there, and that way it can help. I know last year was a huge blessing. I think it was great. Also, this coming Saturday, Great Hope Baptist Church last year, each year has something called a Beast Feast, which is kind of like a sportsman banquet for men and boys. We went last year. Found out that this upcoming year's is this coming Saturday. And if there's some guys or some boys, men or boys that would like to go, let me know. I'm considering going. I'd like to go if there's enough people interested that will want to go. There's a different speaker this year and someone I was looking forward to hearing. And we had a good time last year. So if you have an interest, just let me know and I will let you know some more details about that. That's this coming Saturday. Once again, it's their sportsman type banquet. They call it Beast Feast. And I'm looking forward to the special speaker they're having there this coming year. So if you're interested in going with me, let me know and I'll give you some more details. It's not set in stone. I want to make sure we have enough interest before we sign up to go. So please let me know today because this is coming Saturday. I think that's plenty of announcements, if not too many announcements, but hey, we got a lot of things going on, and that's a good thing. But make sure you sign up for either that game night if you plan on going, and also if you plan on going to the men's retreat. And that's for any of the men that regularly attend our church, young or old. It was nice. We already have, I think, 7 or 8 signed up, and looking forward to even more being a part of that. So Mark chapter 14, we're going to look here, Mark chapter number 14. Today we're going to look a little bit more into some of these thoughts and Jesus praying, and it's going to be verse number 36 specifically. This was going to be Sunday morning's message, but for some reason, the Lord had me flip it. Even this morning when I texted the people that work in the sound booth, you know, where to put it at, a little while later, I had to switch it and say, hey, look, I think this is, we're going to do this in Sunday school and then do this I do for the gospel's sake in the Sunday morning message. So here, Mark chapter 14, verse number 36 is what we're going to focus on. And we're going to look at this thought, Abba, Father. And we're going to talk a little bit about prayer. It's interesting. When you pray, what is it like? I mean, sometimes people feel like it's some type of religious speech, some type of presentation. Sometimes it's words that we've just committed to our heart and to our mind, and same thing said over and over. And yes, I know if you're publicly praying, you're praying for similar things, but prayer should be something that's led by the Spirit of God. And in its most basic form, it's intended to be a conversation, not just any conversation, one of the most intimate conversations. And here we're seeing the veil pulled back or the curtain pulled back, and we're seeing this intimate conversation of what Jesus is hearing and in the garden and talking about how much stress and distress he is under, that he is sweating great drops of blood. And it's amazing when you see this and how he prays. And a few weeks ago, we looked at watch and pray. And I hope you got something out of that, because it's important that we learn to watch and pray. But when we come to this spot, prayer is intended in its simplest form is to be just a deep, meaningful conversation with your Heavenly Father. That's what it is. It's a deep, intimate conversation, one-on-one. And the Lord's helped me with this in the last, just here a little while, and helped me in my prayer life, just coming to him, understanding the relationship I have with him, understanding who he is, and understanding what he's able to do, and understanding my requests. So I'd like to share some of this with you, where I look at this word, Abba. Now, this word Abba is a little bit different in the fact that it is a Aramaic word. I don't know if I'm saying that right or not. It's not even a Jewish word. It's not something the Jewish people would have used. It's an Aramaic word. So the Lord Jesus is talking to his Father. He speaks in an Aramaic language, and then he goes to the language of his own day. Essentially, he's saying the same thing. He's saying that Aramaic word would be something as an affection, maybe even more from a childlike setting, a cry out of Abba being calling, you know, if someone said Abba to us, it'd be like calling somebody Papa or calling someone Daddy. And once again, we don't want to make it seem like it's something that we're being irreverent here. This is the passage. This is the affectionate term. Essentially, he's saying the same things. He's literally saying Abba, Father. He's saying Papa, Father. And it's something that here you see, it's a word of intimacy. It's a word of relationship. It's a word of affection. So what do we learn from this? A couple of things. Number one, it's great. God hears in every language. That's what our prayer is supposed to be. It's supposed to be something that we communicate with one another. It's something that as we're communicating to God, it's not some type of pretense, and it's not some type of our Father, which art in heaven. Yes, that was the model prayer, but it's actually just having a conversation with God. I know it's a battle. I know it's a struggle. I know the devil fights it tooth and nail. He doesn't want us to have that intimate conversations and relationships with God, because during prayer is when God changes us. It's during prayer when we lay ourselves open and we make ourselves vulnerable. We say, God, Abba, Father. And that's, before we get too far, let's go ahead and read and kind of set the setting again. I know this is a place. I know this is a story. But every time I read it, it still just impacts what he's going through. Look what it says in verse number 32. And they came to a place where it was named Gethsemane, and saith to his disciples, sit ye here while I shall pray. And he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy. So once again, sometimes people see pictures of Jesus in the garden, and they have Jesus laying up on some rock, you know, hands folded, hair looking beautiful, long hair. I don't know why long hair. I'm not a big fan of images of Jesus, to be honest with you. It's not something that, but you see those in the pictures. It's like his clothes are like in perfect. That's not what it would have been like that night. He is on the ground, face to the ground, crying out to God. And when he's saying Abba, Father, it's not just something he's sweetening the pot with, trying to get God to listen to him. It's something that he is under distress. He is exceedingly heavy. He is, it says, sore amazed. And he saith unto them, verse 34, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that, if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. So he's there, his face is on the ground. He's there crying out to God. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. And he cometh and findeth them sleeping and saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest thou not watch 1 hour? Let's have a word of prayer and ask God to prepare our hearts and ready for this short lesson. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, help me. Give me the words you once said. Such a special passage of scripture, such an intimate time. Jesus is going through so much. Lord, help us to realize what we can learn from this conversation. When we see this prayer, the things that we can learn from, and help us to get to this idea of looking to you, yes, as God, God of the universe, we can trust you in all things, but also as our Father, one that we can come to, one that we love to, one that wants us to approach him. Lord, I pray that you give me the words that you once said today. Lord, it'd be impactful for those that are listening. Maybe people in this room already have a wonderful prayer life and they'll understand and they'll just agree. And maybe for others, Lord, it will open up a door to help them understand the truths that are needed when it comes to our prayer time. Lord, help us. Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Been thinking and praying and mulling over this for a few weeks, how just to present this. And I think I'm going to kind of give you all three things we're going to kind of look at and then try to go back and explain it a little bit more. Verse number 36, Abba, Father, in my mind, it's a word of relationship. It's talking about an affection, and it's that we're going to God as a father. I don't know about you, because I know this is hard for some people, because some people don't have a good relationship with their fathers. I was going through the room and I was thinking in a Sunday morning audience in the regular service about some different people I know have some struggles with their dads. And to go and think of a picture of their father, consider the picture of their heavenly father, it's not a good relationship here earthly, but the heavenly father is the one that is never going to fail us, never going to disappoint us. And that's when he's coming, it's a sign of affection. Even in the model prayer, the prayer doesn't begin, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. It doesn't. It's not about our needs. It's about a relationship first and foremost. And so when we enter this, he says, our Father, which art in heaven, is saying, yes, we come to you. We have this access, because Abba is giving this idea that it is a term of affection, a term of relationship, but it's also a term of access. We have access to the Father. We can come boldly unto the Father, the throne of grace. And I began thinking about my children. You know, I think about Christian and Andrew and even now Alyssa. I think about how much I want them, if they had a need, I want them to come to me. If there was a way I could help them, I would want to help them. And if you have a love for your child, and sometimes it's skewed because we're worldly, we're fleshly, we're carnal. We don't always do what we're supposed to do. We don't always say what we're supposed to do. Our relationship sometimes, you know, he has to tell us as a father not to do certain things to our children, not to exasperate our children, not to do this and not to do that. Because as fathers, we're human. We make mistakes. We're fleshly. Our desires, once again, the spirit is willing, the spirit is ready, but our flesh is weak. So when I come and I'm thinking about this, he's saying, I want you to go to me as a father. And even this intimate Abba Father, he's crying out at this moment in time. He's crying out as almost in a childlike innocency, a childlike humility, a childlike weakness, talking to the Father. And that's what prayer should be. It is when we are ready to humble ourselves and go to our Heavenly Father. It's not with pride. It's not with, hey, I got everything already figured out. I'm going to Him as my Father because He knows what is right. He knows what is best. And He knows what I need. Not only is it a word of affection and a word of access, it's a word of acceptance too. Look at this. It doesn't get stopped with Abba, Father. I like this next phrase. All things are possible unto thee. And that's when it goes back to that model prayer, our Father, which art in heaven. It's completely different than our earthly fathers because our earthly fathers cannot provide everything we need. Now, growing up, there are different people have different stories. Sometimes I hear people tell stories about how they had nothing and how that, you know, they just had what was in the garden. And sometimes they didn't have indoor plumbing. And I feel bad for you, but I'm glad I have indoor plumbing. And I've heard the story the other day. It was something one of the children were picking on me or a teenager was picking on me. And I was talking about having to walk somewhere. They says, well, did you have to walk to school every day? Uphill with no shoes in the snow. They've heard people tell that story. You ever heard that? I've heard that from, you know, older people. You guys have it easy today. You know, we used to walk uphill both ways to school, and we never even wore shoes because we didn't want to get them messed up and things like that. There's different ways people were provided for. There was. And like I said, I grew up in a home and not gonna say, hey, look at me. We didn't have a lot. We lived in a really, really small spot in a bad neighborhood. I rode the bus to church. I did get the opportunity to go to a Christian school. My dad worked a number of jobs to make that happen. And lots of different things, but we didn't have a lot. There were times, you know, this or that. And there's different ways that people have provided, you know, when we think about earthly fathers. But our Heavenly Father, He gives us everything we need. He tells us to come to Him. But I love that phrase that's there. Jesus is there. He's praying. He's teaching us something about our prayer life. Abba, Father, all things are possible unto Thee. All things are possible unto Thee. If I went to my dad today and asked him, hey, Dad, could I have $1 million? He probably, Miss Carol's laughing. I don't think he would laugh at me. He would probably say, if I had it, I'd give it to you if you needed it. They would make sure I knew that. If I had it, he would be willing to give me something, anything I needed. But he doesn't have it. You know, physically, if I, ask my father, my dad, hey, Dad, would you come help me move from one house to another house? My dad does not have that ability anymore. He does not have that strength. If anything, it would be me helping him do things. Every time we get a chance to go home, we get the opportunity to do something to try to help do things. So we appreciate how much my brother does to be a blessing to them. And we don't go home very often, but when we're there, we're like, hey, what is it that we can do to help? Because of the fact that we want to be a blessing and encouragement. But physically, my dad couldn't help carry a bunch of boxes somewhere or pick up another half of a sofa. But that's the difference here. When we're thinking about this relationship, it's in the perfect side, the perfect idea of the Father. You go through and you talk about all the different things that the Father is supposed to do and how the Father is supposed to provide and how the Father has wisdom, all those different things. That's all there with God the Father. And when you're having a one-on-one conversation, it's something you're supposed to be discussing with. It is basically a conversation, but sometimes we made it so difficult and sometimes we made it so hard. And here in Mark chapter 14, he cries out, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. So it is not only just a word of affection and a word of access, it's a word of acceptance. He understands this. Everything's possible to you. Nothing off the table. There is not something that I could not ask for. There is not something that you could not provide for me. There is not something that I got to feel uncomfortable saying to you. And sometimes we would. I mean, how many times have we gone up and asked somebody for something because we felt uncomfortable? You hope that wouldn't be the thing with your parents. But I mean, even sometimes, you know, Brother Christian will come up to me and said, hey, I hate to ask this. I'm like, don't hate to ask something. If especially in this, the relationship of a father-son, maybe has a difference between a boss and an employee. But as a father-son, don't ever hate to ask something. I want you to ask. I want to help where I can. Now, if you're doing something that I think is foolish or unwise, I'll speak up. I'll say something. If I can provide it, I'll do my best. If I can't, I'll be honest with you. But I fail as a father. I understand that I have a lot of shortcomings, but at the same time, when I look at this, I'm seeing this picture of Jesus is praying. He's teaching us something. It's a conversation. And it's a conversation that's one of the darkest times of all history, if not the darkest thing in all history. The darkest thing he's going through, the battle that's happening here is greater than the battle that happens on the cross. At the cross, he's there. He's already there. Here he is all man and all God all at the same time. He's the God-man. And he says this. He says, take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. And what I enjoy in this passage of scripture, and when I see in this prayer, in his flesh, he's saying, look, take this cup from me. But he also understands that as being God, there's a reason. He always came to do God's will. And I love that word, nevertheless, because our flesh will say, I want this. But you know what? God wants this. Yes, the world wants this. My family may want this. My friends may want this. My relationships might want this. But nevertheless, this is what God wants. And that this has got to come to a point in time in our life when we turn around and we just say, yes, I understand all these things are up against me, but nevertheless, whatever it is you want. And that's where we come to this a word of acceptance. And this prayer, he's saying, Abba, Father, I'm coming to you. He's saying, I trust you because all things are possible unto you. And whatever it is you want, nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. It's a word acceptance. It's this idea, I am accepting whatever you give me. I'm accepting whatever you bring into my life. I'm crying out to you. I know, I have understanding, you can do all things. I get that. But if you want me to experience this, if you want me to go through this, I'm accepting this. Why is that? Because you're my Father. And you're not just some father that maybe has their best interest at heart. And sometimes we wouldn't like to say it out loud, but sometimes we see fathers that they use their children for their own benefit and use their children for their own good. And, you know, sometimes it's sad to see that. You kind of like, what, really? I mean, you're supposed to be there for them. You're supposed to help lead them, guide them, teach them, train them, not to use them for your own benefit and your own good. Yes, there it's a situation, it's a relationship, but God the Father, you're my Abba Father, you're my Papa Father, who can do all things. It's not like a worldly father or a fleshly father that can only do certain things. There's limitations, no limits at all with God. And because there's no limits with God, then I'm accepting whatever you give me. Even at this moment in time, he's not trying to get out of the cross. He's going to the cross. He came. This is the reason why it was you know, the triune God that set up the redemption of mankind. This was planned all along. He's just saying in his flesh, he's saying, if there is any other way, take away the cup from me. But nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. And when we see this beautiful relationship, let's look at that word Abba for a few more minutes. It's mentioned a couple other times in the Bible. So take your Bibles to Galatians chapter number 4. Galatians chapter number 4. You learn a little bit more about the relationship here. But those are the three main things that we're going to come back to is we pray to him, we go to him, we approach him as a father. We expect that the father is going to pity us as he pities of his child. We expect the relationship is perfect and it's right, that he's never going to do wrong. Then we understand it. All things are possible unto thee. It's not just some. You can do all things. Everything is possible unto thee. And then you come to this realization, okay, Lord, if this is what you want, nevertheless, this is what I'm going to do. Nevertheless, whatever thou wilt, Lord, I'm okay with. It doesn't mean I'm going to go act fleshly and do whatever you want. No. I trust you because you are my Father. You give that representation. And then number two, I also understand that you can do all three things. And then number three is the exception. Look what it says in Galatians chapter 4. What a wonderful passage of scripture. Look what it starts in verse number 4. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son made of a woman. Meaning when it was God's time, Jesus came, was made of a woman, virgin born, obviously made under the law, to redeem that were under the law, that we might be received the adoption of sons. And that word adoption, it's a beautiful word. It's a beautiful picture of our salvation. And because ye are sons, and because we're sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you say, Pastor, I see Jesus there praying and I understand relationships. I understand how good his relationship, the Father and the Son and the Son and the Father. He's the Son of God, but he also, you know, I understand that. It's beautiful. But how does that apply to me? It's saying right here that he's given us, because we're adopted, he has given us the spirit of his Son. It says in verse number 6, into your hearts crying, Abba, Father. We have the same access. Yes, it comes through Jesus Christ and what he's done, but we have the same access and we can pray the same way. That word, when it says the word adoption of sons, it's a beautiful picture of salvation. In the first century, adoption was someone who deliberately chose another individual to perpetuate the name of the father and to inherit the entire estate. It's someone that they would look at and they would adopt someone to perpetuate the name, to continue the name going on, and to also inherit the entire estate. And isn't that what God did for us? You know, he's Abba Father. He's our Abba Father. And we've been adopted, it says here in Galatians chapter number 5, to receive the adoptions of son. Adoption was not inferior in any way. It's a beautiful picture of the love and mercy of God. Once we were believers and we became a child of God, we have now been given a job to take his name and lift his name on high, and that to lift the name of God on high all throughout the world. And God the Father sent the spirit of his son into our hearts so we can cry, Abba, Father. We've received the adoption as the sons. And not only is this word Abba, Father mentioned here, it also is mentioned in Romans 8:15. Take your Bible to Romans 8:15 also. Romans 8:15. And I know we're moving kind of through this a little quickly because I don't want to get off the idea of what our prayer life should look like. But because we are adopted, because we received the adoption of sons, we receive the right. We become joint heirs. We have access to the Father now. And we can come unto him and we can cry unto him with his spirit crying, Abba, Father. Look what it says in Romans chapter 8 and look what it says in verse number 15. We'll start in verse 14. It says, for as many as were led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. If you're afraid of something, it's not coming from God. But you have received the spirit of adoption. Once again, we receive the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. In verse 17, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs of Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Say, Pastor, what are you trying to take out of these verses? Look what it says in verse 17. If we're children, if we've been adopted, the spirit of adoption in verse number 15, verse number 16, where the spirit bears witness that we are the children of God. But if we're children of God, we're heirs then. We're heirs of God. Not only heirs of God and joint heirs of Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, yes, we may suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. That we are joint heirs of Christ. We can go to the Father and we can cry, Abba, Father. We have that opportunity. We have that respect. I know people don't go around using the word Abba all the time because we don't want to lose sight of the fact that he is God and he is holy and he's high and he's lifted up. And that's why you see it just in Mark chapter 14. We see the prayer life of Jesus. We hear him talking to the Father throughout the Gospels, but we see it only there. But then it's a reference here in Galatians, and it's referenced once again in Romans to teach us something that is really important, is that we can go to him as a father. We don't have to be ashamed. Like I said, if my sons or my daughter-in-law were coming to me and they needed something or they wanted to ask, I want them to feel comfortable with that. And as a parent, I hope you would feel the same thing. You would want them to approach. Not only would you want them to approach, you would want to say, hey, look, you're a son, you're a daughter. You come talk to me whenever you want. There is a relationship there. There is a privilege that's there that is not known by others that are outside the family. And that's the same thing with God the Father. He says, look, come boldly, enter boldly into the presence of God, that we can find help. We can find the grace that we need. So let's go back to Mark chapter 14 again. Hopefully that helped a little bit, understanding that, yes, we see Jesus there praying. We see Jesus calling out the Father, but he had this wonderful relationship. It was, the fellowship was never broken until the day of Calvary when he died on the cross. And the fellowship that was broken there because he became sin for us. But it's a beautiful picture that we're supposed to be able to have a conversation with God like we would have a conversation with our Father. And we should be able to feel comfortable coming to him with our needs, coming to him with our requests, coming to him. And that's why he says at the beginning, our Father which art in heaven. Remember, yes, he's not like our earthly fathers. Yes, he's not going to fail us. He's not going to make mistakes. But also remember that hallowed be thy name. He is someone we're supposed to reverence. We're supposed to see him high and lifted up. We're supposed to praise him. We're supposed to do all those things to him. But he comes to us and we see in this prayer time, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. So today I want to ask you a couple questions just to consider. Is there something in your life you're not accepting as God's will? Because it's not the fact that God can't change it. It's not unless, first and foremost, do you know him? Sunday, if it was going to be the Sunday morning message, it was going to be a little bit different. It's going to talk about, adoption, talk about who's your father. Do you know, is God your father? Because there's the relationship access. Are you saved? Are you on your way to heaven? Because if you're not on the way to heaven, you can't cry out, Abba, Father. It doesn't mean the same thing. If someone walked up there and said, they called me dad, it wouldn't mean anything. It wouldn't mean the same thing to me. Andrew's friends at college, sometimes he has things on speakerphones and, he tells, hey, look, I'm talking to my dad, and some random person I don't even know says, hey, dad. And I say, hi, hey, son, but I don't really know him. The relationship there. If Andrew had a need and he asked me for something, I'd do everything I get to help him. If that guy had a need and asked me for something, I probably wouldn't do very much to help him. And once again, if he was a college student that loved the Lord and was struggling with something, of course, as a Christian brother that would like to help others, that's one thing. But it's carries a lot less weight than what Andrew would say, or that Christian would say, or that Alyssa would say, because they are my children. But here he's saying, Abba, Father. So is there something that you're not willing to accept? Remember that next phrase, all things are possible unto thee. And over there, nevertheless, it's the thing here, is there something in God's will that he says, this is what I want for you. This is where I want you. This is what I want you doing. This is how I want you serving. These are all the things that we go to and we have a conversation and then we're like, God, I don't really want this. God, can you change this? God, and then we live a life that doesn't represent that we're crying out to him. Yet we cry out to him because we have a need. We want to believe that he can do all things. But then it's our part at the end is the point that we get stuck at. The nevertheless, God leaves it the same way and I'm going to fight it. No, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will. Thou will. And that's the whole point of prayer. And it's something I learned since I've been in the ministry, and something I don't know if I never just listened before, but it's something that has been put into my heart, is when I pray, I'm not trying to get my will done up in heaven. When I pray, I should be trying to get God's will done here on earth. You sit there and you listen to all these requests, and we have all these things that we want, all these things that we think we need. But are we trying to convince God, God, will you please change this? God, will you fix this? We go to him as a father who knows what's right, who knows what's best. When my children, even as young people, would ask something, I didn't always have the right answer. Sometimes I did things the way I wanted them to. Sometimes I just didn't know what the right answer is. And hey, we're going to try this. We're going to go this way. And we're hoping if it does works. But if God closes the door, we're going to do something else. We don't have to worry about that with God the Father. He says, if all thy ways acknowledge him, he will direct thy paths, because he can do all things. And I come to this moment, where is the nevertheless in our lives? Because nevertheless, sometimes it'd be like, I know this is where God has put me. Nevertheless, I'm still going to do what I want. Or is it going to be a form of acceptance that I'm not trying to get my will done in my prayer life? I'm trying to say, God, this is what I see. This is what I understand. God, this is what I would like. But whatever it is you want, that's what I'm willing to do. You see the difference? What that nevertheless means? Yes, we all come to him as a child going to a father. And sometimes it is somebody, a child runs into the room. Dad, I need this. I'll say, hey, stop. I'll say, hey, it's nice to see you. How are you doing today? Well, didn't you hear me? I need this. I says, well, at least you could say hello. At least you could talk to me instead of just rushing in. I mean, unless something's burning, then obviously there's a relationship there. There's a care that's happening there. But so many times we run to them and we cry out. And we even like to say, Abba, Father. We like to make it more personal. We like to make it more intimate. And God, I know you can do all things. And God, this is what I want. And Jesus is even saying here, he says, take this cup from me. He says, nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. And it's a wonderful picture that we see, that we learn and we understand. We can go to him as a father. We can go to him even in an intimate relationship that is affectionately calling him Abba, Father. We have those rights that we saw in Galatians. We have those rights that we see in Romans. We realize that he can do all things. And we come to this moment. He loves us. He's the perfect father. He's never going to do anything that's going to harm us. He can make all things work together for good and for his glory. He can do all those things. And now, what's my nevertheless? Nevertheless. Not what I will, but what thou wilt. Or is it nevertheless, I'm still going to do what I want. I'm still going to keep on pushing my way. And that's what sometimes we do. As my children have gotten older, it's been a little bit more challenging because I see them do things sometimes the way I wouldn't do. Now I got to remind myself, they're 23 or 24 and 20, you know, 20, 22, you know, all in their 20s, they're going to make mistakes sometimes. And then I got to remember, you know what I was like back then. And then I also got to remember they live in a different time that they might understand some things better than I understand it. When it comes to certain things, they live and they're dealing with young people and they're dealing with people their own age. It's like, hey, they got some understanding that's there too. So you have to sit back and you have to just give the advice. You have to pray for it, all those different things. And then they're going to make the decisions they make. You can only make the decision as much for them as they can as they become adults. They begin making decisions. But we always have this access. I hope they would always feel comfortable to say, hey, look, there's a relationship here. I want them to come. There's an access there. Mine is limited in the fact that I cannot do all things. I can't do many things. But with God, he can do all things. So love that relationship. Embrace that relationship. Jesus put that, our Father. He put that there first. You go through and study what fathers look like and what fathers are supposed to do to their children and how fathers are supposed to take care of their children and how fathers are supposed to train their children and how fathers are supposed to love their children. And you go through it. It's a wonderful Bible study. God does that. And he does that perfectly in our lives. And Jesus is saying, I want you to see this. I want you to understand. Go have a conversation with your father. It's not some type of religious speech. It's not some type of presentation. I'm trying to win God over. No, it's our Father, which art in heaven. Now, sometimes there is passion. He calls Abba, Father, here. I know you can do all things. Nevertheless. So what's your nevertheless today? Because I've seen it before. I've experienced it before. Nevertheless, I know that I have the relationship there. And I know that all things are possible unto thee. Nevertheless, I'm still going to keep on going my way. Hopefully that's not your desire. And we see this beautiful picture here. Jesus, this is intimate. I am so thankful that they put this in the Bible. I don't know if I would have written that in the Bible. You know, it's God's inspired word. Jesus is open completely there. It comes to the Father, know that can do all things, nevertheless. Even if you choose not to answer my prayer the way I want you to, I'm still going to serve you. Nevertheless, nevertheless, nevertheless. He loves you like he loves his child. He pities you as he would pity his own child, and he can do all things. So because of that, you can trust him. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, help us today. Thank you for this prayer. Thank you for this time. Lord, just lead and guide us. Help us not to try to be hypocritical. Help us not to try to save face. Help us not to try to put on some type of religious show. You're God. You are our Father. You know everything about us, everything we're going to do, everything. And God, that we would just sit down and learn to have conversations with you.